faced a lion. Some of you are facing a lion today. You know, your lion may not be a lion as in this, but your lion may be like this Consumer Report magazine that I saw. Have you ever get Consumer Report magazine? Here's a picture of a man that's being swallowed up with pills. You can look at the front cover. And the title of the front cover says, "Too Many Meds." Now, I'm not against you going to the doctor and getting medication if you need it, but honestly, sometimes the side effects of medicine can be worse than what you got. So you just think about that as well. I'm just telling you the cover. What kind of lion are you facing today? Some of us are facing discouragement. You've been discouraged for a long time. You've been negative a long time. Some of us maybe are facing other kinds of lions, like, for example, getting out of debt. I don't know what kind of lion you're facing, but I love the story of the little boy. Have you heard the story of the little boy? The little boy was telling his buddy about an incident where he was facing a great big mean dog. I mean, this dog was growling, and he was heading for that boy, and that little boy's name was Billy. Billy was telling his Christian friend, he said, "I know God spoke to me. That dog was coming at me, and I know that dog was coming right for me." And he said, "God spoke to me." His friend said, "Well, what did God say?" Billy said, "God said, run, Billy, run." Well, you might need to run. No, I hope you don't run. I'm going to talk today, Lord willing, on the title, Facing the Lions. Facing the Lions. By the way, did you hear about the old boy that had a lion's tail and he was wagging it in the air, bragging about cutting off a lion's tail? Somebody said to him, said, "Well, how in the world did you do that?" He said, "Well, easy. After they cut his head off, I cut his tail off, all right." He didn't cut his tail off before that. Hey, you know, you're facing a lion today. I know you are. What kind of lion are you facing? I talked with a young 21-year-old young man just this week. You know what he told me? He said, I asked him, I said, "Do you believe the Bible?" He said, "Well, I believe the Bible's a good book." He said, "But there's a lot of good books." He said, "You know, there's the Quran, there is the Pearl of Great Price, and there's the writings of Nostradamus, and there's the writings of Confucius, and all of that." I said, "Hey, wait a minute. There's no book like this book." I'm glad one person said amen. "There's no book like the Bible book." By the way, B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. You know what that stands for? B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving this earth. Not a bad thing. Basic instruction before leaving this earth. And so I said to the young man, I said, "Hey, I double dare you to show me any kind of literature, any kind of documentation that'll even compare to this book right here. Nothing this side of heaven will compare. One, the historical reliability. Two, the archaeological corroboration of the findings of the hidden sands of time. Three, the manuscript evidences are absolutely overwhelming. Four, the prophetic accuracy. How in the world these authors know hundreds of years before an event ever happened? How did they know it was going to happen?" I'll tell you, because this is a supernatural book. Amen. This is God's word. It stands, and brother, you can stand on it. It's infallible. It's inerrant. There's no other book that you can put your trust and life in like the word of God. It's like an old Timex watch. It's taking a licking, but brother, it keeps on a ticking. And I want to tell you today, you can line your life up with the word of God, because the word of God stands, and thank God you can stand on it. By the way, that young man facing a lion. He said, I said, "By the way, what do you think about Jesus?" He said, "Well, Jesus was a good man." He said, "Jesus was a good teacher." He said he was kind of like other teachers, you know, like these other ones I just named. I said, "Wait a minute. Now you got to conclude, my friend, one or two things. Either Jesus was telling the truth or he was telling a lie. Either he was a madman, a bad man, or the God man. You got to decide. He was not just a madman. He was not just a bad man. He was the God man. He was not a lunatic. He was not a legend. He was Lord. And by the way, if Jesus was telling the truth, what he said, who he was, then either you got to repent and get right with God, or you'll perish, because he said you'll likewise perish. Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." And so here's the conclusion of the matter. Either he is telling the truth or he's telling a lie. And if he's telling the truth, you and I need to understand he is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm talking about facing the lions. Well, I talked with a young 20-year-old young mama not long ago. It's about a week ago. And I said to her, she said, I used to be in church. I was raised in church. I went to church as a younger child. My daddy is a Christian. She said, it's time that I get right with God. I said, praise the Lord. It is time for you to get right with God. And maybe somebody of you today are facing a lion, and it's time to get right with the Lord. Lord willing, this young lady plans to follow through a believer's baptism. I hope that she'll conquer and kill that lion. I was talking with a young lady just this past week. As a matter of fact, I went to get my eyes checked. It was about that time. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And anyway, I met this optometrist, this lady who was checking my eyes out, a young black lady, very nice Christian lady. I said to her, I said, are you Christian? She said, yes. I said, really? Where do you go to church? She told me, over at Elizabeth Baptist Church. Some of you may know what I'm talking about, in Atlanta. And anyway, I began to talk with her as she was checking my eyes, and I said, she's 32 years old. She went to school, got her 6-year degree, 4 years in college, and I think 3 or 4 more years to get her optometrist degree. At any rate, she said, I'm not married and I don't have children. I'm waiting on God. She's facing a lion. I told her, I said, it's good to wait to find the right one. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. And by the way, facing the lions. What kind of lion are you facing today? All of us are facing lions. I talked with a man this week, and this man has happened to have an accident. Somebody hit him with their car, hit him from behind, messed up his truck, messed up his trailer, messed up this and that. And on top of that, sad to say that it looks like the person that hit him, it looks like, as of now, has no insurance at all. And therefore, the negligence of someone else, now this particular individual is going to have to pay out of their insurance, which won't cover everything, by the way, pay everything. Well, that didn't seem right, but I'm talking about facing the lions. I saw a lady just yesterday here at the church, and God is so good. Somebody say amen. God is so good. My God is a great God. He's a living God. He's a true God. And by the way, what I'm talking about, facing the lions, a lady had not spoken to her daughter. Guess how long? 8 long years. And we prayed and believed God would reconcile the two. I can report to you today, as of yesterday, the mama was here, the daughter was here, they're talking, they're reconciled. Don't tell me my God's not alive. Amen. He's a living God. You're facing a lion today. What kind of lion are you facing? I want to preach for a moment on the subject of facing the lions. Now listen, if you're going to kill the lions, God spoke to my heart about this a couple of weeks ago, killing, facing the lions, there are 3 steps I believe that you and I need to take if we're going to kill the lions we face. Number one, we got to face the lion. Number two, we got to fight the lion. Number three, we got to have faith in the lion killer. I'm telling you, he's better and bigger and stronger than, what's the guy's name that won last night? Floyd. Yeah. He's stronger than him, amen. He is God Almighty, and there is none like him. Turn into your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Facing the lions. Facing the lions. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, if you would stand to your feet as we read just a few verses from the Word of God. I want to share with you today about a man you probably don't know much about. I dare say many of you have not even read about this man. If you did, you just kind of glazed over it. This man was a mighty warrior for God. And by the way, I'm so glad when we have people that come and visit. And I went back to the back, and Robin West invited her sister Cindy. I went to our usher. I said, Brother Ushers, we got some visitors. We need to give out some visitors cards. How many of y'all know Cindy Franklin? How many know Cindy? All right, wave your hand, Cindy. You just so happens her husband, Mike Franklin, is a pastor of Solid Rock Baptist Church. How many think she needs a visitor's card? Raise your hand if you think she needs one. I was just kidding with her about it, and she brought a friend named Fran, I believe it, wasn't it? Laura, that's right. Last name was Coleman, okay. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Hey, look up here just a moment. Who's writing this? It's a man by the name of the priest, you know. You recognize this writing? Following up from 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, Ezra is believed to be the author. Now, there's a lot of genealogical names listed in this passage in the First Chronicles. However, we're going to chapter 11. Here's the setting, and then we're going to read. David, he's got a mighty man. I'm telling you, there's some mighty men. I'm looking out in the congregation, some mighty women out here today, and some of you need to face your lion. You need to fight your lion, and you need to have faith in the God who is a lion killer. David had a band of men who had left Saul's armies. Why? Because they were in debt. Why? Because they were discouraged, maybe like some of you. And why? Because they were discontented. Nonetheless, they came to David and David's armies. By the way, y'all listen to me. I do not believe you would be where you're at today had it not have been for people God's raised up around you. None of us would be where we're at today had God not raised up that godly mama, that godly daddy, that godly Sunday school teacher, that godly pastor, that godly husband, that godly wife. We've got a lot to be thankful for. God has done a work in us and around us, and we need to recognize it's the work of God, and we need to praise the Lord for those who blazed the trail before us. Amen and amen and amen. So David has men around him. What are these men? I'm not going to take time to list all of them. There's really three mighty men, but we're going to zero in on one man, Benaiah. Benaiah. Say that name with me. Benaiah. One more time. Benaiah. One more time. Benaiah. Have you heard about this man? Look over here in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Facing the lions. Verse 22. If you're there, say amen. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. Look at this. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, underline this next phrase, also he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. I love that. Verse 23. And he slew an Egyptian. Get this, verse 23. A man of great stature, 5 cubits high. You know how tall this man was? Over 7 feet tall. This was a bad dude right here, Benaiah. Oh, yeah. And so look what else. He slew this Egyptian who was over 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. He went down to him with a staff and he plucked the spear. Notice, this man was so bad that he went down and got the staff from the Egyptian and he plucked the spear out of the hand of the Egyptian's hand and he slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but obtained not to the first three. You read about that, the top three. And yet David set him over his guard. Oh, yes, this is the word of the Lord, and all God's people said, hallelujah. Facing the lions. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that there are people here facing lions. Like we're all facing lions, different kinds of lions. Certainly the roaring lion that walks about as the devil. You tell us in 1 Peter 5 and 8. And yet, dear God, we thank you that you're the great lion slayer. I pray that you'll quicken your word in our heart. You'll change us, God. Change our want-tos to want to love you, to want to serve you, to want your blessings in our life, and to want your glory, dear God, more than anything else in our life. And I bless you for every man here, every woman here, every young person, teenager. And Lord, I praise you, dear God, that you're alive, that you're able to kill the lions that we're facing today. Raise up a holy remnant. Father, encourage your people. Lord, strengthen our hands to keep on warring against the lions we face. And dear Lord, when all's said and done, we'll thank you and give you glory because you are altogether lovely and you conquered death, hell, sin, and the grave, and you live forevermore, and you're still in the life-changing business. Therefore, we love you and worship you because of your great love for us. Now, get glory, dear God, and I pray for that man that's really up against some lions, that woman that's really, that mama, that daddy, that grandparent, dear Lord, you'll do a work in every heart. And we'll give you glory and praise, because one day it'll be worth it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. May want to turn me down a tad bit there. Facing the lions. Facing the lions. A lion is a bad animal now. Make no mistake about it. As I said earlier, 500-pound creature, run over 20 miles an hour, claws 1 inch long. I don't think I'd want to be in a pit with a lion, would you? I don't think I'd be wanting to face a lion without an AK-47, amen, or out of M-16, amen. What about a hand grenade? This man didn't have a hand grenade. No, Benaiah. This man went down in a snowy pit, and he fought this lion. He was a lion slayer. Somebody said he chased the lions. Number one, if we're going to kill the lions, you know what we got to do? Number one, we got to face them. That's right. You got to face the lions. Notice the text again. Look at verse 22. And Benaiah. Look at this. Verse 22. And Benaiah. You know who this man is? This man, his father, look at this. He was a son of Jehoiada. Well, who was Jehoiada? Jehoiada was a part of the priestly family. Now, you probably didn't know this, and I didn't really know all about this man, Benaiah, but I think, and you can pronounce his name two different ways. I'll probably mention both of the different names as I'm going along. But his daddy, his father, was a believer in the true living God. He had a good heritage. He was brought up, would say today, in a Christian family. And by the way, I'm glad to see this young man right here. I visited yesterday, didn't I? Right? Amen. Glad to see you today. Amen. Come on, let's give praise to the Lord. He's here today. Zach. His name's Zach Billings. Pray for his daddy. His daddy was here last week with Robert, and his mom was here last week, and his mom's coming back today. Amanda, Mandy, if you know her. Anyway, I saw you, and I thought I'd mention it. Now, back to our count. You got to face the lions. If you're going to kill the lions, you got to face the lions. Number one, by the way, did you know what a Navy SEAL, you know these Navy SEALs, you talk about bad dudes, they're bad dudes. You know what they said, how to ward off a dog attack? I saw this and I read about it and I thought, boy, that's good. You know, by the way, a lady I knew and know, meet with her on Thursday, every Thursday morning over in Social Circle. She plays the piano, does a great job. Lil, she's an older lady and plays in another church. At any rate, a pit bulldog attacked her about a month ago. It grabbed a hold of her right here on her side. Man, it pulled a plug out of her, and the dog bit her on her leg, and she just couldn't hardly walk for about a week or so. But you know what this Navy SEAL said? If a dog attacks you, you know what he said you ought to do? Punch that dog right in the nose. Hit him as hard as you can, right in the nose. Not your neighbor now. Don't hit your neighbor. No elbows flying. Don't hit your neighbor, for heaven's sake. But punch him right in the nose. And by the way, if he don't let go then, you know, I got a suggestion, poke him in the eyes, all right? I don't know if that'll work with an alligator, but it's sure worth a try, praise the Lord. Hey, if you're going to fight and kill the lions, number one, you got to face the lions. You got to face the lions. Well, what about facing the lions? I heard about a man that was sitting at the corner of a driveway out in town one day, and he was sitting on the corner boo-hooing, I mean crying. Somebody walked up to him and said, "Sir, what in the world's wrong with you?" And the man said, as he was crying so much he could hardly gasp for breath. He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Hadn't you heard?" "Heard what?" He said, "That Rockefeller died." And the man said, "No, I hadn't heard that." He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "Well, were you kin to Rockefeller?" And the man crying said, "No, that's why I'm crying." You'll get it later, all right? Benaiah, he went down in the pit. By the way, speaking of facing the lions, can I tell you about a dear lady here in the congregation, a dear precious lady that faced some lions, and I was with her when she faced it. Last year at this time, y'all remember Marie Luttrell? How many remember Marie? Raise your hand. Oh, a dear Christian lady, sweet spirit. Brother should be back there in the kitchen cooking, vacation Bible school, whatever you needed, special events. Anyway, this time last year, she was facing a lion. She had no idea what the doctor was fixing to drop a bomb on her and tell her her diagnosis. She knew something was wrong about this time, but she hadn't had any problems too much prior to this time. Nonetheless, she went to a doctor, And the doctor said, ma'am, I've got news for you. And this is what Marie told me. You've got cancer. It's already in your liver. It's already in your pancreas, I believe, was the diagnosis. And it was, needless to say, a shock to her and everybody else. What would you do if you were diagnosed with that? Facing the lions. I remember being with Sister Marie at the hospital. She said, Brother Randy, I'm not ready to die yet. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Well, if you haven't, you probably will. I'm not ready to die yet, but if it's my time, so be it. And hey, that's easy to say while we're sitting in here. And it's another thing when you've been just hit with this bad news. Nonetheless, I watched Marie after that point on. They said chemotherapy and this, that, and the other. And anyway, long story short, December the 21st, I'll never forget it. Last year, less than a year ago, I went to her house and we had, the Lord put it in my heart, to have a communion service with her. And Marie at that time had gotten fairly low, although I might add, God had given her great grace to face the lion. She was not experiencing hardly any pain whatsoever. The doctor was saying that's an absolute miracle. How many believe God's in the miracle working business, all right? Anyway, on December the 21st, it was on a Wednesday. I went over there before we had church on Wednesday. And I shared with Sister Marie. She was in her hospital bed at that time. And I said, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And then I said to Sister Marie, I said, now this is the cup. You know what this represents. Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I tell you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Until that day in my Father's kingdom. And then I began to share it with Sister Marie. I'll never forget it. She was looking at me. She was facing a lion. I looked at her right in the face. I said, Sister Marie, you know what Jesus did after he took those in the upper room, the Last Supper, you know where he went? He went where? To the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember, don't you? Oh, yeah. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he do? He prayed. But what did he pray? He prayed, Father, take this cup back. I hear a rooster. Amen. You're too fast to this story. I'm talking about Peter, but not quite. We're not quite there in the story yet about where the rooster squealed on him. Anyway, and I was telling Marie, I said, Marie, here's the thing. And by the way, y'all know what that's going off. Chris has got his phone set for 9:23 in the morning and at night. It reminds him to pray, correct, Chris? That's why his rooster, I'm going to kill that rooster if it's the last thing I do, amen. Somebody join me with me. Somebody said, you know why the preachers love chicken ever since the rooster squealed on Peter. We've been trying to get back at them ever since. Where was I at? Anyway, so Marie looked up at me and I said, Marie, you know where Jesus went later. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he pray? Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Thy will be done. And I said, hey, Marie, what was he saying? He wasn't afraid of dying. Rather, he understood that your sin and my sin, the sin of the whole world, was in that cup. And did he drink it to the last bitter dregs? Oh, come on, somebody help me. Did he drink it to the last bitter dregs? He turned that cup up, your sin and my sin. And yet, here's the point. It was like the light was turned on Marie. She said, I see it, Brother Randy, not my will, but God's will be done. I saw a smile on her face. December 21st. December 23rd, 2 days later, on Friday morning, I got a call. Went over there. Guess what we did? We gathered around her bedside. Even at that time, she had still not had hardly any morphine at all. In fact, the hospice nurse said she had just given her a little bit. It was absolutely amazing. Not very much at all. We gathered around her bedside. We were there for several hours. I sensed the Lord was fixing to take her home. I said, all right, let's pray. We gathered around her bedside. As soon as I said amen, she was gone. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm talking about facing the lions. Hey, look, you'll face that one day, and I'll face that one day, facing the lions. Can I tell y'all something that happened to me not long ago, speaking of facing the lions? If we're going to kill the lions, we got to face the lions. I got a call not long ago. And by the way, Bible college doesn't train you for the thing that I was fixing to face. Those of you that are going to Bible college, Katie and Josh and Carol and some of you others that have gone to Bible college. Anyway, I got a call, and this was one of those situations you're not really sure about. I showed up at the cemetery. It was a kind of a eerie feeling I had. Nonetheless, I was called out to this particular cemetery. I saw a man out of the cemetery. I saw a woman kneeling down at a graveside. And obviously, she was very emotional. And yet, I didn't see the man. His back was turned toward me. I walked up to the man. I was not ready for what I was fixing to encounter. He turned around. I was standing face to face with him. Tears were streaming down his face. His nose was running. I'm just telling you graphically. I understand it's not a pretty picture, but nonetheless, I want you to see what I saw. Standing there, he grabbed his fist, both of his fists. He would say, bowed up. He tensed up as I walked up to him. He had this angry look on his face. I'm standing there right in front of him, and I'm thinking about a backup plan. Somebody say amen. I'm wondering, what's the deal? The man is obviously emotionally distressed. I had no idea. Just walked in on the scene, facing the lions. Well, after what seemed like an eternity, I stood there and tried to reason with the man for a few minutes, and some things were said. I'm not going to say it to y'all because y'all will run out here and say everything, so I'm just not going to tell you all the details. I'm just kidding. But anyway, long story short, here's the deal. He threatened this and that, but God moved in. Aren't you glad we serve a living God? I'm telling you, my Redeemer lives. I don't know about yours, but I saw God move in that situation. I saw the Lord begin to change that young man's heart, and it was just like a blessing, and all of a sudden, God just moved in. I faced a lion. I didn't know if he had a gun. I didn't know if he's going to shoot, and you don't either. Hello. And yet, we all face lions. But if we're going to kill the lions, you know what we got to do? We got to first face the lion. Say it with me. Face the lion. Are you facing the lion you're facing? Somebody says, well, I've got a lion I'm facing. I've been angry and bitter. There's a lot of people that are angry, you know, mad because of things going on, bitter, and they'll try to suppress it and do other things. But deep down inside, there's anger. Deep down inside, there's resentment facing the lions. Maybe your lion today is lustful thoughts. You can't seem to get victory. You can't seem to clear your mind. Maybe you're covetous today and you said, you know, I know I ought not to feel this way. I don't know exactly what your lion you're facing today, but probably it could be a wayward child, or it could be some health issue, a lion facing the lion. Hey, notice, number two, we not only got to face the lion, number two, we got to fight the lions. I love this man named Benaiah. Look at this, what he did. Chapter number 11 of 1 Chronicles. Look at it. Verse number 22. Benaiah. Look at this. Benaiah, or Benaiah, as some pronounce it. Verse 22. The son of Jehoiada. Again, he was brought up in a good home. The son of a valiant man. Man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men. I don't know if you've ever seen lion-like men. Don't know what they looked like, but they were from Moab. He also, look at this, underline it, he went down. Number one, if we're going to kill the lion, we got to go down. Look at this. He went down and he slew a lion. Notice, in a pit on a snowy day. Can you imagine? Snow was on the ground. Now, I'm not exactly sure what all this pit was. It could have been a cave, some suggest. I'm not exactly sure. I know this, the lion was down there. How'd he get down there? I don't know. I don't know if it was gladiator kind of competition. I don't know if it was just the lion couldn't get out. I don't know what the deal was, if it was training. I don't really know all the details. All I know is he went down in a pit. By the way, Jesus went down from heaven to earth. You want to get up, you want to go up, you got to go down first before you can go up. Jesus went down and the Father said, no, son, you're coming up out of the grave. You see, we're not going up first, we got to go down. He that exalts himself shall be abased. Whosoever abases himself shall be exalted. Jesus went down. And this man, Benaiah, went down, notice, in a pit. What else do you see about this pit? What's going on in this pit? What else does the text say? It's what? Snow's on the ground. Now, how many know that's really good for traction? Hello. I mean, you know, yeah. I'm being obviously sarcastic. It's snow on the ground. Well, now, I'm going to say something. Y'all don't be offended, but go fight a lion on a snowy day and snow on the ground. I know if it rains 20 drops of rain, it'll keep 19 Baptists at home from coming to church, let alone going down on a snow. And snow on the ground. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And by the way, somebody says, oh, brother pastor, you know, about this going to church and all that stuff. Can I tell you all something? I'm not boasting or bragging. I'm just telling you, Jesus makes a difference in our heart. That's a time in my life where I, as a teenager, I had to have my want to changed. If you don't want to go to church, it's because your want to needs to be changed. Your want to needs to be changed. When the Lord saved me, when I was a teenager, I'd rather watch ball games, right? I'm telling you all the truth. I'd rather watch the Atlanta Falcons. I'd rather watch the Georgia Bulldogs on the film. They didn't come on Saturday when I was growing up as a teenager. I'd stay home and watch them on the film. See, that was my idol. That was my dominating force. But when Jesus changes, you want to, praise God, you want to come to church. It's not that like I have to go to church. Bless God, I want to go to church. I really do. I'm telling you the honest truth. I love to go to church. I want to be around the people of God. I need to be around the people of God. I need the Word of God. I need encouragement every day. And I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and sing the songs of Zion. I need the blessings of God. And when we come to the house of God, it's when God shows up and God shows out. We need the Lord today. Amen. And amen and amen. We need the Lord today. Yes, sir. That's why we ought to go to church. Speaking of going to church, I heard about a man said, man, he woke up in the morning and said, I don't feel like going to church. His wife said, why not? He said, I just don't want to go to church today. She said, why not? He said, some of them folks, I don't like them down there and they don't like me. She said, I'll give you one good reason you ought to go to church. He said, why? She said, you the pastor. That's a good reason, isn't it? Has your want to been changed? If you don't want to go to church, it's you got a heart problem, okay? If your mom and daddy has to drag you to church and you come kicking and screaming, chances are you might not really be saved. When Jesus comes in your heart, brother, the devil's got to get out. And what Jesus loves, you ought to love. I don't know of a perfect church. I'm just telling you this. I need Jesus. I need the blessings of God. Hey, look, the devil's wearing you out, wearing us out Monday through Saturday, and we need to come to the house of God and get filled up with the power of God that we might go out and fight and do great exploits for God, because our God rules and reigns. Amen and amen and amen. Well, you got to fight the lions. Are you fighting them? Are you fighting the lions? I can see old Benaniah right now. There he goes. He's getting down in that pit. Now, I don't know if this is a good picture of Benaniah or not, but I saw several pictures. I was trying to put this together, and here's a picture of a man, and I don't know exactly what he looked like, but I know this. Hey, brother, that man was courageous, and God's calling some of you out today to be courageous. God's calling you out, mamas, today, not to be a wimp, not to be a pygmy Christian, but to stand up for truth and righteousness. Young people, don't buy into the devil's lies that you can't serve God when you're young. Remember that Creator. I need some help, adults. Remember that Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, and the years draw nigh, when I shall say, I have no pleasure in them. You can serve God as a teenager and do great things, like David, who killed the giant, like Joseph, who said, God forbid that I should sin against God. All through the Bible, you find young people who serve God, who made a difference. I pray that God will set some fires in our young people. Amen. Turn the county, turn the church upside down. I appreciate y'all being here, by the way. You know I love you. And thank God for you, and pray for you as well. So I can see old Benaniah going down there, that pit. There comes that lion. Man, I'd have to have a shotgun or something, or a rifle of some sort, if I'm going to go in a pit with a lion. Get the picture, man. Man, I'm telling you, this man went down in the pit, and the Bible said he slew the lion. He killed the lion. I don't know how he did it, but my, my, my. What a feat, what a feat, what a feat. What an exploit for God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I see some of you going down in a pit right now. That's right. I see you going down in a pit right now. I see some of you getting down in that pit. Yep, I see God calling you to get off the sidelines and get in the ball game. Get off the your blessed assurance. Get down in the pit. I see some men going down. The devil's tried to chew you up and spit you out. The enemy, like a roaring lion, he walks around, and you see he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But I see some daddies and some granddaddies said, bless God, you're not going to get my family, you devil. I'm going to go down in the pit and slay you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I see some ladies, mamas, that you know your children are on the brink of being pulled here and being pulled there. I see some mamas getting up and going down the pit today. I see you, yeah, mama. I see you saying, oh, bless God, I carried you 9 months in my womb. I'm not about to let you go to the dogs now. Somebody said, if you lay down with the dogs, you're going to get fleas, all right? Don't forget that, okay? But I hear some mamas and young people saying, I'm going down the pit. Is there anybody here, any men of God, any women of God who are serving the Lord and God's called you not to be mediocre, not to be a casual Christian, not to just do the least you can for God, but God's calling some men of God and women of God to take a stand, to take your spear, the sword of the Spirit, get down in the pit, stop being a wimp. Stop being complaining. Stop being so negative. Man up. Step up to the plate. Be a man of God, a woman of God, and watch God do great things in your life. I see some men and women today that you've been depressed, because you and I have not been willing to get down and fight the lions. The lion's not going to run away from you. Y'all listen to me. The lion's not going to run away from you. You got to take a stand. You got to be one who say, bless God, if it's a lion, I need to kill him. I'm going to ask God to help train me. And you need to kill some lions. I know you do. I know you do. Number three, and I'll be done. Number one, if we're going to kill the lions, we got to face them. Are you facing them lions? That addiction? Man, I'm facing a lion, but bless the Lord, I'm going to face this lion and get rid of this lion in the name of Jesus. Number two, we got to fight the lions. And then number three, we've got to have faith in the God who is the lion killer. You see what he did? He went down in the pit on a snowy day and he slew the lion. That's exactly right. How many believe there's always victory in Jesus? Wait a minute. I want you to see something. Look up here just for a moment. There's always victory over Satan. In the name of Jesus, through the armor of God. I'm convinced there's some people here today and some Sunday school teachers. How many of you are Sunday school teachers? Raise your hand. All right, we got a couple of Sunday school teachers in the house of God today. Thank you. We appreciate you. Somebody say amen. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. But there's some of you that have gotten weary in well-doing. You say, bless the Lord, I got a lot of things going on, and the enemy has been wearing you out. Your mind. How many know that it's easy to just get so worn out, right, Jennifer? When you're carrying a baby, you can just get worn out. And the enemy's wearing you out. Tired. I'm too tired to read my Bible. I'm too tired to pray. I'm too tired to go to church. Well, there's always victory in Jesus. I understand, but wait a minute. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How many today need their strength renewed? Come on, talk to me. A lot of us need our strength renewed today. We've been so weary and fatigued, but they that wait upon the Lord, I said they that wait upon the Lord, let's say it together, but they that wait upon the Lord, say it with me, but they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. When they renew their strength, JP, renew their strength. Gary, renew their strength. Jackie, renew their strength. Richard, renew their strength. Josh, renew their strength. Justin, renew their strength. Tommy, renew their strength. Jim, renew their strength. William, renew their strength. Buck, renew their strength. Brent, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Clint, they will renew their strength. Daryl, they that wait upon the Lord, Garrett, they'll renew their strength. Daniel, they'll renew their strength. And I don't know about you, but there's some lions out there that we got to fight, but we need the glory of God, the presence of God, the power of God in order to defeat the enemy. But thank God, Jesus, wait a minute. Jesus has gone down in the pit. He's brought to a death up from the pit. He's taken the sickle from death. He's got the keys to death and hell. He lives forevermore. I'm glad no matter what we face during these days, we've got a conquering king. We've got a captain of our salvation. We've got somebody that blazed the trail before us. And hallelujah, he's gone on before us. He said he's not going to leave us nor forsake us, Mr. Larry. He said, praise God, Charles, that in him we're more than conquerors. You can do it. Get down in the pit, fight the lion in the name of Jesus, and watch the lion be killed in the name of the Lord of hosts. Yes, amen and amen and amen. Sin has been defeated. Death has been dealt with. Satan's back has been broken. Would you stand to your feet today?